So I want to introduce this sermon series that is all about the ideas and questions that you bring. So I'm not picking any of the things that we're doing for the next couple weeks. It's going to be your questions. So if you've been chewing on something, if you've been wondering about something, if you've been disturbed about something that you find in Scripture, or you think, oh, the church is doing a really bad job with this, I want to ask about it. Or if you think, what in the world is going on with this? Now is your chance to, because I figured campfire, summer's about campfires for me at least, and campfire oftentimes offers an opportunity to get into deeper conversations than we are able to do on a day-to-day basis. And so I want to thank Rebecca for offering the question that's focusing today's exploration. And just gracious God, we pray that everything that's done here would be useful, that it would be helpful, and pray that anything that I say or do that is not helpful would be forgotten, or if it needs to be acknowledged so that it can be forgiven. And we pray that the end result will be that we can all flow in our love for you and one another, and our knowledge of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if I told you that I was going to figure out the Mona Lisa, I'm just going to stand in front of that painting. I'm going to Paris, and I'm going to figure out the Mona Lisa. What would you say to me? You might not be able to hear it at home, but I've gotten a number of good comments from good luck to have fun with that. And so I want to just say that that's not my intention. I don't think I could figure out the Mona Lisa by standing in front of it. So I want to invite us to come to the book of Revelation the way we would come to this masterpiece painting. I want to invite us to come to the book of Revelation as though it had something amazing for us, for sure. But I think that trying to figure out the book of Revelation is a bit like me standing in front of the Mona Lisa and trying to figure out why she's smiling. All right? So that's where I'm coming from as we come into this. And I want to say that my experience with great works of art is that the more I gaze upon them, the more likely I am to forget my own agenda and get lost in the questions that the work of art is asking me that I wasn't even expecting. Unexpected questions that rise up and challenge my sensibility about what the world is all about. And it brings me back. I think about the book of Revelation and this question. And the question that was raised is, are we in or are we near the end times? And so this question was brought up for me. The first time I really encountered it was when I was a teenager, and I went to a family member's church. They were coming from a much different place than the church that I grew up in, and they had Bible study before worship, and so I'm sitting in the Bible study class, and I thought, oh, how grown up I was, because I was a teenager in a room full of adults discussing the Bible, and so I was definitely feeling very grown up. And the Bible study leader was explaining how the images of the locusts in one of the dream sequences of the book of Revelation was meant to be unlocked if we thought of them as Soviet helicopters. This is for real. This really happened. And that they were going to swarm. The prediction was that they were going to swarm over the world. I had never read the book of Revelation at that point. I didn't know much about the Bible, but it seemed pretty convenient to me that the book of Revelation had lain dormant for 2,000 years. Well, actually, not quite 2,000, but, you know. And was suddenly active in this moment and equated to exactly the enemy that happened to be in front of us at the moment. Because this was in the 1980s. I guess I just confessed exactly how old I'm getting to be. Locusts. Soviet helicopters descending on us like swarms of locusts. That's what this person was predicting using the imagery of Revelation, standing in front of the masterpiece and trying to tell us what it meant. Jesus cautions all of his followers not to try and use this text to predict the future. And that's the big temptation. Generation after generation, people come to the book of Revelation. They want to predict a future. And it's a lot like trying to figure out why she's smiling. So John's visions, they come off the page. But if we are too wrapped up in our own agenda, we miss the questions that John's amazing masterpiece can inspire in us. So in Acts, Jesus gives us this warning. So he's back from the resurrection. He's with his disciples, and they ask him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power. You will receive the power to love." That's my interpretation added onto Scripture, but I think it's reasonable. In Mark, Jesus speaks of the destruction of the temple, and his disciples ask, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" So Jesus preaches an entire sermon. And the conclusion of the sermon is, well, "But about the day or the hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware. Keep alert. For you do not know the hour when time will come." When the time will come. So whenever someone comes to me with all these theories about the meaning of the symbols in the artwork of the Revelation, I say to them, well, just remember, Jesus told his disciples that even he didn't know, right? Nor the Son. I don't know. And it's okay to not know. Because we can stare into this amazing work of art and allow it to ask its own questions of us. The words that jumped out of that text for me, right, came right from the first line. "I, John, your brother, we have relationship. We are together in this. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance." And I thought about those three words and the questions that they asked for me. Who share with you the kingdom. Right? That's the community. That is us coming together to care for one another, to lift one another up. That's us coming together to see divinity in each other and to have divinity awakened within ourselves. That is amazing. I share that with you. Right? And to think about the questions that raises as a masterpiece. I share this community with you. but I also share persecution, right? So I think when we look at the way in which I think one of the gifts that the LGBTQ community gives to the church is that the LGBT community knows what persecution really means. Persecution means that people don't see you for who you are, make assumptions about you that aren't true, try to hold you to expectations that are foreign to your nature, and it hurts. Persecution hurts. Persecution is not about Christians who have been obnoxious who get rejected. That's not persecution, right? I just want to say that to some of my conservative brothers and sisters may be listening to this at some point. If you're just being obnoxious and in your face and you get rejected, that's not persecution, right? But persecution, coming because we are living into the fullness of who God has called us to be, and other people aren't quite ready for the fullness of our truth and try to make us be smaller, try to force us into molds that don't fit for us, that can be very hurtful. And John is saying, I share that with you. John, who had been exiled from his home and was living on the island of Patmos, might have been enduring solitude or isolation. I don't know exactly what the conditions were, but Romans were not known for building nice prisons. Let's just put it that way. So you can see John painting a masterpiece with his words, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, right? We are called into this world. We're called to love and to keep loving. We are called to be patient with the systems and the habits of this world that are destructive. And to see the end point that God has, that these will all be transformed into a more loving pattern. And to patiently love and to keep loving. I think John Lewis has just showed us a life of patient endurance. If you know the way that he worked at every chapter of his life, he worked for freedom. And he was patiently keeping his eyes on a goal that was out in front. And by his patient endurance, all of us got a little closer to that goal. And so here is John sharing with us the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance. And you see a masterpiece being painted in front of you. And it may just be that we get to stand and look at the masterpiece for a moment and get lost in it. Because ultimately, that's all I've ever been able to do with the Mona Lisa, is to stand and look at it and get lost in it. That's what we need to do with a masterpiece. And so as we, it doesn't mean that we don't look at the fragility of what's around us and think COVID has shown us exactly how fragile our economy is, right? These heat waves have shown us exactly how fragile our earth is. We can do things that are going to end things. It's possible. And it's also possible that we can make choices today that will lead to our children's children's children having a safe and healthy planet to live on. And so as we patiently endure seeking that beautiful vision that they have, what we have grown up with, which is air that is safe to breathe, that they have what we have grown up with, which is water that is safe to drink, that they have what we have grown up with, which is that they have trees. All of these things could go away in the place that we could be heading. Right? The question about the end times. Given the trends that are happening, it's a valid one. But John says, as he paints this masterpiece, I'm sharing with you. In the persecution, I am sharing with you in the building of community. I am sharing with you in the patient endurance with my eyes on the beautiful world that God wants to see us build together. Amen. Let me take just a moment and make sure everyone has the elements of communion. And while I'm doing that, I just want to explain to those of you who are at home, the United Methodist Church has traditionally not allowed for online communion, but obviously circumstances are such that we need to adapt. And so this is the way that I want to do that this morning. If you're watching from home and enjoying the service from there, I want to encourage you to participate at whatever level feels right to you. If you'd like to grab some grape juice and a little bit of bread and experience the bread and grape juice being broken for you, I invite you to do that. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell a little story beforehand because I think that'll help frame this moment. One of my mentors in the faith, his name was Daniel Berrigan, and he he royally angered the powers that be on several points in his long life of prophecy. And at one point, the church silenced him, and they told him that he could no longer speak and he could no longer perform communion. Now, when that happened, what he did, at one point, there's a story that he got together with some of his friends. And they had some bread and some grape juice on the table before them. And he said, "Here are the bread and the grape juice. Let God do with them what God pleases. And they will be for us whatever God wants them to be for us." Now, could I call on someone who's near the camera to adjust it upward just a hair so that it actually sees me well? This camera right here. Could someone just point it upwards a little bit? Because I don't think it's really getting the right image. And I want to make sure that those who are with us from a distance can participate fully. So what you have in your bulletins, and we'll shortly have online as well, is a liturgy that is ancient and new. And we're gonna allow God to do what God will do with it for you who are watching at home. You're welcome to participate in it through your imagination. You're welcome to just listen and watch. You're also welcome to grab some juice and some bread and see what God does with those elements. So, that being said, are you ready? We haven't had communion in nearly 2 years. Church, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let's do that again. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and by the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always. In the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper, he took the cup and he blessed it. He offered it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is a new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this, or do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these, the mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Creator, now and forever. Amen. All right, so now you've got these little cups, and if you work the little cellophane and can get them open, which is a challenge, I realize, you should be able to find on top a little wafer, and I invite you to partake together. Ah, I forgot. Sorry. And then you should be able, hopefully, to make your way down to a little tiny cup of juice. Let's drink that together as well. Friends, you'll find in your bulletins a prayer of thanksgiving. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be able to share that with you and to figure out a way to do it. I know that we'll be going on to perfection. We'll be figuring out, hopefully, smoother ways of doing it over time, but that's a start. And we've got a closing hymn that comes from Brian Wren. It's called "This is a Day of New Beginnings." So let's sing together the first two verses of, I think it's number 383. "This is a Day of New Beginnings." People God loves. Let the blessing of the knowledge of that love increase for each one of us. We are people that Jesus came to earth for. He took on flesh and became fully human so that we might see more clearly just how much God loves us. Let the blessing of the presence of Christ awaken you to your divinity. And we are people to whom the Holy Spirit speaks. And let the Spirit of love speak to you. Tell you who you are and who you are called to become. So let the blessing of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit be with you, and share that blessing as often as you may. Amen.